Good morning. What a joy to be together. Thank you. What, don't you just love praising the Lord? Such a delight. Well, we continue our series this morning on prayer, and I hope you've been encouraged as we've studied together what we know as the Lord's Prayer and how we might conform our prayer with God's design. As Jeff mentioned when we kicked off a few weeks ago, I think all of us feel inadequate when we talk about prayer. And yet we desire to grow closer to God, that our hearts would be voiced to the Lord, that we'd have this intimate communication with Him through prayer. As we're learning and growing together, we're learning that prayer is as essential to our spiritual lives as breathing is to our physical life. If you've noticed, we've been studying so far the Lord's Prayer, how Jesus begins prayer focusing on God and His priority in all things, on His glory, on His kingdom, on His will for our lives. And when we start there and get our focus correct, then He shifts gears. And one of the things I love about Jesus is He just can shift gears so fast. And now He's talking about from the glory of God in the perfection of heaven. He's talking about what's on our dinner table, which is very important. So we begin our time together. Let's start by reading as we have in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 through 13. Let's read together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. This morning we're going to study Jesus' fourth petition, where we ask God for our daily basic needs. And we're going to take this thought and consider first how that in prayer we recognize that everything comes from God. Secondly, we realize our constant and continual dependence upon Him. And thirdly, we learn to ask for basic needs and to differentiate between our needs and our desires. But let's begin by asking the Lord to bless this time in prayer. Father, how we rejoice that we can gather freely here and hear from Your Word. How we thank You for Jesus, who left the glory of heaven to live as the perfect man, to give His life as the perfect sacrifice, and to speak to us. We now have in this written word, and we pray that You would open our hearts and minds, that You would change us, that You would conform us to Your Son as we ponder the privilege we have to communicate with You in prayer. Bless this time, we ask, with thankfulness, in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's begin considering that as we pray, give us, we recognize that everything comes from God. Now, have you wondered, why would Jesus teach us to ask for something that we know, that He knows, that we need already? I mean, isn't it a waste of His time and a waste of our time to talk about something as fundamental as the things we eat every day? Why would He encourage us to pray for daily needs? He's aware. He realizes every need and every dynamic about us. But I think the answer gives us a window on the very nature of prayer. It's not like God calls us to pray so that we remind a forgetful God what, oh, by the way, you know, I'm hungry and it'd be good if you got something on my table. But it's actually just the contrary. Could it be that God has given us needs and desires to remind us of our need for Him? That God has created a world where our dependence reminds us we need to connect with God in prayer and turn to Him for voicing that dependence. Remember, the whole reason God made us was that we would live for His glory, that we would live in this intimate relationship with Him that would cause us to bring glory to Him. now and forever. And so it is through this relationship that we not only depend on Him for our needs, but that through our lives, His beauty, His glory, His truth, His righteousness might be made manifest. So then how does asking for our needs remind us of our dependence on God? Just a few things to consider. First, it obligates us to draw near to God to ask. How forgetful we can be just to communicate with Him. Secondly, these prayers refresh our vision of God as our loving Heavenly Father and us as dependent children. Doesn't matter how big or how mature you get, all of us are God's little children, and He is the Heavenly Father. The cycle of asking and receiving builds our faith. Today's answers give confidence for tomorrow. And praying for daily bread, just as we've sung, promotes thankfulness. You know, we ask and He gives, and like, wow, those are answered prayers that remind us that He is such a kind and gracious God. Everything we enjoy is a blessing from Him. And so God's people over all the world should be known as a people filled with gratitude. He is the one that provides every need. Not because we're so deserving, but because He's infinitely good and infinitely generous. And so we respond to that generosity with humble thanksgiving. And fifthly, praying, "Give us," reminds us that we're not alone, that our situation we share with all of humanity, that all of us need God's provision, His protection, His grace. And as we pray for our needs, we're mindful that although we may have an abundance, there may be some of us that lack those basic necessities. And you'll notice one of the themes through Paul's letters is this big collection he's taking up in all Asia Minor to gather resources to take back to Jerusalem. The brothers and sisters there are suffering from a severe famine. And so God's abundance in one place provides for the needs in another place. And so we see this theme of, because we're praying for our daily bread, how can some of our bread be used to feed someone else? From the beginning, the gospel has always been accompanied by care and concern for the poor, especially those of the household of the faith. So teaching to pray for our necessities help us to be answers to the prayers of others. And that's why we do so many things. I hope you're filling your Operation Christmas Child boxes and getting, oh, so many fun things. Those gifts will meet needs. Or I didn't bring any yams this morning, but we're getting together yams because there are families in our community that don't have the resources to have an abundant Thanksgiving dinner. Last count I heard, there are about 200 cans have come in. We need about 200 more cans of yam. So bring your yams that we can share God's abundance. And that's why we send forth missionaries. We're involved, for instance, with the Smiths, who are caring for the poor in Cambodia. For the Sidner family, who are caring for migrants, homeless people in Europe. How we're involved with the Pregnancy Resource Center and other ministries. God wants us to feed others. His blessing to us as we pray for our daily needs motivates that generosity from us. So when we trust God for our every need, it creates in us a boldness, a sense of confidence, and a sense of rest because of His abundant provision. Can your friends tell that you're trusting God for your daily needs rather than trusting yourself? Could it be there's areas of your life where you need to repent of independence and voice your dependence on the Lord? Does gratefulness and generosity characterize your life as you relate with Him? Secondly, we see that praying for today's bread reminds us of our constant, continual dependence on the Lord. As a branch cannot survive without being connected to a tree trunk or to a vine, in the same way our lives are to be constantly connected to the Lord. And that dependence we voice in praying for daily bread. God made us and this world so there's daily provision for daily needs. You know, I thought, wouldn't it be so much nicer if we just have like one big meal every 4 or 5 months, you know, just chow down and put away the dishes for 5 months, not need to worry about that. How much easier life would be. And yet God has created us and the world, so there is this need for daily sustenance, daily dependence, daily nurture. You remember God's people in the wilderness, how he sent for them bread from heaven, and it rained manna. They called it manna, which this means stuff, basically. This stuff came down from heaven, and they fed on that stuff. And it's amazing, because if they gathered too much on a normal day of the week, it rotted. But he only sent down the stuff 6 days a week, because he wanted them to rest. And so on the day before the Sabbath, they gathered twice as much, and it lasted just fine. Every day, but on the Sabbath, God provided. He scatters, and we gather. God provides, and we receive. And that pictures our constant, continual dependence on the Lord. What a joy that we have that opportunity. So the hunger and satisfaction cycle is actually a reminder of our need for him, our dependence on him, and it motivates us to pray. You know, hunger is a great motivation for prayer. It's also a great motivation to get out and work. You know, those kind of two things go together. But that, the strength we have and the benefit we receive is because of his constant, continual provision. And yet we live in a time and a place when it's almost sometimes too much. Here's what Agur, the son of Jacob, said in Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal, and so profane the name of my God." Unfortunately, we live in this season and this place on the planet when there's such an abundance, we can be tempted to forget God. He warned his people of this very same problem in Deuteronomy when they were about to enter the promised land, this land of milk and honey. Here's what God reminds his people of in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10 through 12. "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord." How easy to fall into that trap. How easy to think that our struggle, our strength, our intellect is the source of the wealth and the provision we enjoy. But how wrong that is. We live in a culture that denies God, that denies it, that he's the one that causes the grain to grow, that causes the animals to bear, that causes the orchards to give fruit. He is the one that provides all things. You know how easily to deny him in our pride and arrogance, to think that it's all because of us. All that we have is a gift. And Jesus reminds us, God feeds the sparrows and he feeds us as well. He's the one that puts the bread on our table. And he is faithful to his children. And we can count on him. Here's what David said in Psalm 37, 25 and 26. He says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. He is ever lending generously and his children become a blessing." You see God's faithfulness? When the Almighty is your Father, we have no reason to doubt. And yet how easy it is to feel insecure, to wonder. There have been times when I had bread for today. I didn't have bread for tomorrow. And so I was worried, oh, Lord, where's tomorrow's bread coming from? And how easy to be anxious rather than trusting in the Lord. But the fact is, God doesn't promise any of us tomorrow. We have this day. And it's not to say we're not to be wise. He's told us to be like the ant and to store up in season of harvest. So we might have in season of lack. But the point is, our confidence must be in His faithfulness and not in our ability or our stores or anything, but His trustworthy nature and His steadfast promise. So how do you acknowledge your constant daily dependence on the abundant hand of God? What helps you lean in on Him and recognize He is your good, good Father? He will feed you just like He feeds the sparrows. What helps you grow in trust and in rest? And how might trusting Him more work out in your sharing your faith, in being generous with others, in serving, or in stepping out in ministry? God wants us to live in this confident assurance that He will cover our every need. Seeking first His kingdom, all those other things He will abundantly add. Thirdly, we see in Jesus teaching us to pray for bread, He calls us to focus on our needs and to differentiate between needs and wants. When Jesus taught His disciples to pray for bread, they knew exactly what He was talking about. They lived in a subsistence economy where people basically worked today for today's food. And every day, today's labor was today's resource. Many places in the globe continue to operate that day. And much of the Mediterranean culture with regarding bread still remains the same. And I can just tell you, from living in Spain, there are many places where every day, the family sends someone to the bakery to get bread. Now, what they call bread is different than the square, fluffy stuff they call bread here. It's really not the same. There, bread comes out of the oven. It's fresh and it's good and it's kind of crispy on the outside and soft on the inside. And yet, by the evening, that bread starts to age. And by tomorrow, it's old bread. It's just... And so... A lot of places, especially in the countryside, we have all these rows of breakfast cereal in our grocery stores. There, you just take yesterday's bread, crumple it up, put it in a bowl, a little bit of milk, spoon of sugar, a little honey. That's breakfast. And then lunch and dinner, you will not find a table without daily bread. And so it's kind of like everyone's got, one stomach for everything else and the other stomach for bread. It's just, without bread, you haven't eaten. And with bread, now it's nice to have something else, a little piece of fish or some vegetables, a little gazpacho in the hot summertime. But bread means you've had your meal. And so it is that Jesus here asks us to ask for our needs and to differentiate from all the other things we've come to enjoy. God wants us to pray for our necessities, which are so much more than just the things we eat. How we thank Him for a place where we can gather freely without fear and worship. How we enjoy health and strength and warm clothes in the wintertime. So many things that we need and He so abundantly provides. And yet God wants these needs and His meeting these needs to lead us to think of other needs, the needs we have in the spiritual realm, the need for Him to nourish our soul and to change us. Here's what the psalmist says in Psalm 42, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Is that the voice of your soul? Do you long for Him more than your daily bread? We can come so accustomed to the extra things that we feel like those are necessities. And yet God, in His kindness, leaves us in moments where all we have is what we need so that we might thirst for Him and hunger for Him to be the satisfaction that we are made for. When Julie and I were church planting missionaries in Spain, we had a more constant awareness of our daily needs. And God so abundantly provided through many of you. And yet there were times when there were lean moments, and I'd pray extra hard for daily bread. I could tell you so many stories, but one story that really comes to mind happened actually before we left for Spain. We were in seminary, and we were in a very lean season. There weren't anything in the cupboard, and we knew God would provide, but boy, you know, it was a little anxiety. I woke up anxious, and I prayed, Lord, you know where we are, and we'd love for you to provide daily bread, and today would be a good time for it to get here. And went to school and got back, and someone had sent, there was this big styrofoam box on the front porch. It had come in the mail. Here's a box, styrofoam. We opened it up, and someone had sent us a package of Omaha steaks. It was like thick steaks and these monster burgers, pork chops. It was amazing. And so we invited some hungry friends over, and we had a feast. It was such a thrill. We prayed for bread. God gave us T-bones. And he's like that. And in the same way, God wants us to trust him, to know that our every need will be met until he comes to take us home. And then we will dine at the table of the Lord. Those moments build our faith. And yet there are times when it just seems like he doesn't answer prayer. He doesn't come through. And how do we respond when we pray for our needs and it seems like he's not listening? A college student was chatting with a believer about the gospel. And this young student commented, she knew God didn't exist. So the obvious question, well, how did you come to that conclusion? And she commented how when she was just a little girl, her mother became very, very sick. And so she prayed and prayed that God would heal her mother, and her mother died. And so in the funeral, she decided she would not believe in God. If he were real, he certainly would have spared her mother. How would you answer that hurting student? How would you reply when a loving God doesn't answer? When he allows us to suffer such pain, to suffer loss, can God be real when there are such terrible things happening in us and around us? What does God do when we pray? The fact is, it's helpful to discriminate between what is a need and what we may not understand from God's plan. It's so sad that student's mom passed away. And it was further sad that no one told her that if she would trust in Jesus, he would meet her every need. That his heavenly father would be her father and would care and provide. And the fact is, even though she denied him, God had provided. And you know, if her mother could have seen her that day, she would have been proud to see how she'd grown up. And yet the reality is that she'd come to a place where she needed to put away childish thinking. A child doesn't understand that our limited minds can never grasp the complexities of the infinite wisdom and the sovereign plan of God. So there may be times we're begging God for what we feel is a need, and he may choose to answer in a way that we're not expecting. It doesn't mean that he doesn't love us, that he doesn't care, that he's not in control. It means his ways are different from our ways. And his plan is often different from our plan. That's why we need to back up and think again and pray, Lord, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will. As much as I want my will to be done, Lord, your will be done. And so we learn to trust him. When I wrestle with questions of unanswered prayer, I often try to remember that Jesus knows our lot, that God has drawn near in Christ. He left the glory of heaven. He became one of us. And he lived a poor and humble life. He bore our pain and our grief. And on the cross, he took all our sin. And he paid the penalty that we rightly deserve to pay. And now, by that finished work of the gospel, he invites us to receive him as daily bread, that he would meet our needs. Here's what Jesus says: I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. And again in John 6:51, I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, when Jesus said those words, many of his followers left. They thought, what sort of strange cannibalism is Jesus talking about? Yet obviously, Jesus was speaking a metaphor. That as bread feeds the soul, he is the only way, feeds the body, he's the only way to feed our souls. That his death, his body being crushed like wheat, gives nourishment that we might live with him forever. As bread keeps us alive, his life, his death and resurrection give life to our spiritual lives. Now, when we come to this table, in the same way we come to remember, as he at the Last Supper said, this bread is my body broken for you. This cup is the cup of my blood. It's not saying that the bread becomes his body or the cup becomes blood. He's actually, again, speaking of this metaphor. That by receiving, as our body takes nourishment from this bread, so our souls find strength and life to live now and forever, because Jesus has been broken for us. One of the reasons we so clamor for earthly pleasures, for treasure, for comfort, for convenience, is because we're not captivated and satisfied by the bread of life. Jesus is that bread. Jesus is the only one who can satisfy us now and forever. How easy it is to go days or sometimes weeks without prayer, not realizing that as our bodies hunger for food, our souls thirst for God, for the living God. But Christ has come. His body has been broken. He, our Passover, has been sacrificed. So let us come to the feast. We come to celebrate the wonder of his love, the power of his death and resurrection, and the joy of life everlasting. He will come and take us home, where we will feast with him at the table of the Lord.